morning from Harvest Christian Church, all of our family here and online. Good morning and happy Father's Day. It's such a joy to be able to say that to our family. And so I'm going to come down just so I can be a little close. We're going to have a little family talk here for a second. Welcome. Welcome this beautiful morning. You know, as I was remembering last week, and actually on last week when Apostle Bob had a prophetic word about us not running from God, my heart was so stirred with a song that we're going to do in a moment, that we've been actually, we play it almost every practice because it's so powerful. It's not really a praise and worship song, so we're going to minister it to you, but I really want you to engage in the chorus, and I'll get back to that in a moment. I want to read you the scripture behind the song and also the scripture behind our revelation of how good our Heavenly Father is. He is a good God. He is an amazing and wonderful Father. He is the Father to be the plumb line to every father. Amen? So my scripture reference is in Luke 15. Verse 11, a very well-known and loved parable of Jesus. And he said, "A man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate that falls to me.' So he divided his wealth between them. And not many days later, the younger son gathered everything together and went on a journey into a distant country. And there he squandered his estate with loose living. Now, when he had spent everything, a severe famine occurred in that country, and he began to be impoverished. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed the swine." Now, he was not staying within his community even a little, because the Jews did not eat pork, so he was out among the heathens. He was out among those that were not of his own people. So he's out there getting ready to feed the swine, and he would have gladly filled his stomach with the pods that the swine were eating, and no one was giving him anything. But when he came to his senses, thank God he came to his senses, he said, "How many of my father's hired men have more than enough bread? But I am dying here with hunger. I will get up and go to my father and will say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me one of your hired men.' So he got up and came to his father. But while he was still a long way off," here's a father. He's looking and he's waiting and he's watching and he's praying. Amen. "While he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion for him and ran and embraced him and kissed him and said, 'Son,'" he said to him, oh, the son said to him, "'Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his slaves, 'Quickly, bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead, and he has come to life again. He was lost, and he has been found.' And they began to celebrate. Now this older son was in the field, and when he came and approached the house, he heard music and dancing, and he summoned one of the servants and began inquiring what these things could be. And he said to him, 'Your brother has come, and your father has killed a fatted calf because he has received him back safe and sound.' But he became angry." God help us not to become angry when those return to the flock. Give us your heart, God. He became angry. "And I lost my place. And was not willing to go in. unforgiveness is a bitter pill. And his father came out and began pleading with him. But he answered and said to his father, look, for so many years I've been serving you and I have never neglected a command of yours. And yet you have never given me a young goat so that I can celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came who has devoured your wealth with prostitutes, you killed the fatted calf for him. And he said to him, son, you have always been with me, and all I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and rejoice, for this brother of yours was dead, and he began to live and was lost and has been found. So this song has been on my heart. Vince actually introduced it to us. And we've been playing it and generating it in the atmosphere. And as we have, we've been getting such a heart for the prodigals. Such a heart for the prodigals. And we, as the sons and daughters who are now in still at home and working for the kingdom, we're going to rightly position our hearts because we're going to remember. And this song, I pray, will help us remember what we came out of. Because there isn't any one of us that haven't fallen short of the glory of God through sin. That's why Jesus came. So, Father God, we just thank you so much for your grace. Your grace that brings the prodigals running back home to you, Lord. Your grace that is available and full. Your love, Father God, that is an abiding source of mercy and help in time of need. Father God, we just thank you that we are one voice calling back the prodigals. Come. We call back the prodigals and we say, come. You are loved and accepted. You are accepted in the beloved. So I want to teach you, Stephen, if you could bring up the chorus, please stand. And I'll be singing this song, but when we get to the chorus, I need your help. I need your help, and in singing it, it's going to activate something in you. So the chorus is, he called my name, and then you repeat, he called my name. So let's practice it. We're going to have a little lesson right here. He called my name, he called my name, and he stole my shame, he stole my shame. Everything changed when I came running home. I'm running home. Out of the dark, into his arms, no more running away. I'm running home.
Change when I my final breath, let the weight of this world go. Gonna be no tears, gonna be no pain, when I see that smile on my Savior's face. I won't be walking, I'll be running home. Than here in your love, here in your love. No place I would rather be. No place I would rather be. No place I would rather be.
I can't contain and I can't control.
rather be than here in your love, here in your love. Thank you, God. 'Cause I've heard a thousand stories of what they think you're like, but I've heard the tender whisper of love in the dead of night as you tell me that you're pleased and that I'm never alone. You're a good, good father.
says that we love you, God. We love you, Lord. We love you. We love you, Lord. For your mercy never fails me. All my days have been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up till I lay my head, I will sing of the goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God.
I will sing of the goodness of God. My prodigal road, you came running with a ring and a robe. Grace is the collision on my way back home, with the arms of a father that won't let go. Thoughts define me. You're
closer. You're closer than the skin on my bones. You're closer than the song on my tongue. Yes, you are. Thank you.
Jesus said, if you've seen him and if you know Jesus, then you've seen and you know the Father. So we honor you this morning, Father God. We honor you this morning as we lift our voices with the sacrifice of praise. Lift your voice right now. Let there be a sound of worship. Fill the air. A sound of thanksgiving. Thanking him that he's a good, good Father. We thank you this morning. You're a good, good Father, and we bless you. We bless you. Bless the Lord, O our souls, and all that is within us. Everything in us blesses and honors you. We lift you up. We lift you up. We lift you high this morning. There is no one like you. You are awesome in this place. You are our reality. You are Father God, Abba. And we bless you. We honor you. We honor you, Jesus, King of glory. King of glory. King of glory. Thank you, Jesus. You know, it's only right, and every Sunday we honor the Father. And it's our prayer this morning that you just know him as Father, not just God. But you might have a personal, intimate relationship. Then when we cried out, he wants to take us deeper still. Wow, when it said, you are my reality. I want him to be my reality. Because he's on the inside of you. He's more real than the skin on your bones. He's more real than the air you breathe. Wow. I want that reality, don't you? Thank you, Father, for the reality that you are our all in all. This is eternal life. Jesus. Revealing the Father in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Let's give the Lord a praise. Hallelujah. Well, you may be seated. Several things happening this morning, and just a couple announcements. We're going to dismiss the children, and Chase is going to give them some instructions because the children come back in at the end, and she'll give them instructions when they come back in, and we'll help orchestrate that. But happy Father's Day to all the fathers. I thank you and praise you for the men that you are. And just, I think of my father. He went to be with the Lord about 16 years ago. And what an encourager he was. I still hear his voice. When I preach, I still hear him saying, amen. He was an encourager. When I played ball, I could hear him say, hey, King, pick it up. And I could pick out his voice above all other. He was always an encourager. Yes. Amen? Amen? And God our Father is an encourager. He's encouraging you this morning. And he wants you to know that he's a good, good, good Father. And he wants you to experience his goodness this morning. So, wow, wow, wow. Well, a couple announcements. And this last couple days, we joined a couple of people together. We saw them join marriage. And of course, Joshua and Lauren aren't here this morning. They were married on Friday. And so we're just rejoicing with them. Pray for them. It was an exciting time. And the Hurleys gained a son. All right. See, there's one way of multiplying in your family. You can have birth and let them grow up, but then you can get them married off and you gain sons and daughters. Amen. So David and Robin celebrated because they gained a son. And so we met Joshua's parents, just lovely, lovely people, just like him, humble and just amazing people. And they gained a daughter. And so we see that. And then yesterday, the Browns, Michelle and Chris, their son Ben was married to Anna, and Chris and Michelle gained a daughter. And so they're multiplying their clan. And so we rejoice with them. What a celebration. We just enjoyed just being there, being a part. Let me just encourage you. Chris and Michelle brought the house down. The bridal dance, Chris sang. And if you have never heard Chris sing a special, Chris can hit those high notes, that tenor voice, and amazing. It was a Motown song we don't even know. But boy, he had brought tears to everybody. It was amazing. And we thought, oh boy. Then Michelle came, and she was going to do the dance with a son-mother dance. And it wasn't your normal slow dance. They had coordinated together, and they must have practiced forever and really cut loose and did a lot of, you know, I can't do it all, and a lot. Oh boy, it just brought the house down. They were just roaring. So we're proud to be a part of both Hurley's celebration of the new son and also the Browns' celebration of the new daughter. So let you know, we just rejoice. Hallelujah. Well, a couple announcements before we dismiss the kids. I think they've already been dismissed. I know that Ann's was back there doing pancakes with them, and Ann's laughing. That's what I'm laughing. That's a private joke. We won't tell you about that. You want me to tell them about that? No, no. She knows now it's public. But the children are back there, and they're being ministered to the Holy Spirit. But I want to encourage you, next week my brother Roger is going to be in town. And Roger is one of our missionaries. He's been overseas for about 40 years. He just came out of Myanmar, Burma. He's been there several times this year. He's also in Thailand this year a couple times. England, he goes in and out of England where one of his daughters lives. And Roger was the one that brought me to the Lord, and Apostle Linda to the Lord. Shared Christ with us and took us to a service that changed our lives forever. And so Roger's going to be here. He's a little bit different. You can pick up a flyer. He's country and I'm city. And so you'll see that when he comes in, but he'll stir your faith. And so next Sunday, bring someone, because he'll stir your faith. He'll encourage you, a man of faith. He went to Rhema the year before I did, and I followed in his footsteps, because I thought everybody that got saved and thought they were called to the ministry went to Rhema, and that was the only Bible school that we knew of. So we both went to Rhema. So Roger will be here next week, and we'll celebrate that. Also, we have a few books left. The assignment for this summer is Setting Yourself Free by Robert Heidler. Be in prayer. We're negotiating some things to bring Robert and Linda Heidler in for a weekend with us. So pick up the book, and the assignment for this summer is for you to go through it. Take your time. Don't read it as a fast read. You can do that first, but go back and do the assignments at the end, because God wants us to have a clean house. And there's many rooms in this house, and God wants to go in every room and do a supernatural cleaning, because the season that we're about ready to enter in, he's looking for those that he can entrust his power and his fullness to. So we want to make sure we're clean inside and out, delivered, set free, walking in the Spirit and not the flesh. So you can pick up the book. I think we have a few left. If Laura runs out of them, we'll order some more. But make that assignment, and we'll let you know when we establish that they're coming in. So a lot of exciting things happening. This morning I have the privilege of introducing a very special encourager. I said she's my most number one encourager outside of Jesus and my father, but right now on the earth, she's number one encourager. And you say, don't get too familiar, because Proverbs says, listen to the instruction of your mother also. And so you say, it's Apostle Linda. I know you guys don't say that. Guys like Apostle Linda's preaching better than me. She challenges you. But she's coming to bring the word this morning. Then we're just going to see where it flows. We want to just honor the Lord. We honored him as Father. And now let's just welcome Apostle Linda. She comes to bless us.
Thank you. Ooh. Thank you, Michael. Good morning. Good morning, good morning, good morning, and happy Father's Day to all of you. Since if you've been around long enough, you know that we try to do it this way because we used to, he'd ask me to do Mother's Day, and he would do Father's Day, and then on one Mother's Day, I said, wait a minute, Mother's Day is my day off. Don't ask me to preach on Mother's Day, that's too much. And so I said, how about we switch? How about you do Mother's Day and I'll do Father's Day? And I got so excited about that because I love talking about dads, how important they are, all the significance of dads. I was surprised when I looked up a little bit of the history of Father's Day to find out that Father's Day was established as a national holiday, as a real point of national recognition, long after Mother's Day was. Mother's Day was well established as a holiday and then well established officially and then established nationally as a holiday. And then some moms, some daughters said, well, what about the guys? Let's have a day for the dads. Let's recognize them. You know who were the ones who most stood against the dads having an official day? Dads. Some dads said, and this is on record, that they said, listen, giving us flowers and candy and all that stuff, I mean, that's way too feminine, and we want to keep men, men. I wish that mentality had stayed. But they said, let's keep it men. And then another group that's on record said, listen, look, think this through. Okay, we're going to have a day for the dads, and the dads are going to get presents and special things. Who do you think is going to pay for those? The dad has been at work earning money to put in and give to the kids or the wife, and then they get gifts bought for them. And they said, listen, that doesn't work too well. But apparently way back, let me see where my date is here, which is not that long ago, in 1972. To me, that's not that long ago. 1972, it finally became a national holiday. Mother's Day, way back in like 1014 or something, you know? No. long ago. But I think we should always have a day and a significant time that we acknowledge moms and dads, and to know, wait a minute, who started this anyways? The Lord did it long before any, you know, Hallmark decided to get in on it or anyone else. The Lord said, in fact, when the Lord worked and separated the ones he would say, these are a special group of people, my people. And he brought them and he took them out of their bondage in Egypt and brought them into to the progress of going towards the promised land. He said, I'm going to give you some very special instructions. And actually he started with 10 simple instructions. You often might see it on a plaque. They used to be on plaques on buildings before people fought to take them down, called the 10 Commandments. And in those 10 commandments, I think if the Lord God Almighty is going to tell something to a group of people, he has said, you are my distinct people. What are the things he would give as his commands, as his instructions? Well, one of them, he said to them, honor your father and your mother. And he gave a promise with it. Of all the other 10 commands, there's not a promise connected to it. But this one has a connection. It says, honor your father and your mother, that your days may be prolonged in the land which the Lord your God gives you. Other translations say that it talks about long life, that you might have long life in the places that God gives you as you honor your father and mother. You know, when God gives a promise, take hold of it. Take hold of it. And one of the ways that I have taken hold of this promise, not just to recognize in my life to honor my mother, to honor my father. I've been blessed to have, as it were, three dads, because my birth dad, a wonderful man I had in my life until I was in my early 30s, and then he passed suddenly. But then my mom met another great guy and married him, and so he became my stepdad, but he was dad to me too. And then as I married this man, I got his dad as dad. So I've been blessed in that way. But you know, when you honor your father and mother, that's so special. But I recognize that this is a promise to take hold of for my children also. And there are many times where there are that I would see in the lives of a child of ours that they would be honoring us by their respect, by obedience, by their behavior, by attitude. And times I knew, you know, we're not the greatest parents here. You know, I don't know if we deserve what you're giving us. But I would remember this command of the Lord, and I'd say, Lord, that was your promise, that if a child would honor their father and their mother, their life would be long in the land that you give them, that the land that they possess because of you. And I declare it'll be so for this child who is exercising honor towards us. You know, there's a place to take hold of those promises and know how they pertain, how they reach out. But I love the aspect of Father's Day. I talked to my son yesterday and I said, you know, I'm going to read it again. And if you've been around long, you know I've read this little message. I have a stack of cards from three daughters and a son to their father, talking about the different ways they honor. But this one just always captures my heart in a special way, that when my son was in high school, later on you can check out the picture, it's really cool. It's a picture of this man here walking along next to his son, and his son is in a baseball uniform with a catcher's guard gear, whatever you call that, you know, chest thing, and carrying his catcher's equipment, but they're walking along. And our son, Robert, wrote this to his dad when he wrote it in high school. Oh, I'm sorry. He presented it to his father and wrote it at his wedding rehearsal dinner. That's right. Thank you. He gave him this picture, this plaque, and wrote this to him. He said, Dad, I know at one time in your life your dream was to be a pitcher, a baseball pitcher. Well, I just wanted to let you know that you have been a pitcher all your life. Except you haven't been throwing baseballs. You've been throwing wisdom, advice, encouragement, discipline, most of all, love. Even though you may not realize it, and I haven't caught everything yet, since I was a little boy, I've been your catcher. I have tried to live my life by everything that you have shown and taught me. In fact, it's no surprise to me when people tell me how much I am like you, because I've been trying to be like you my whole life. It's a great thing to know my life is modeled after one who models the true father. Unlike baseball pitchers, your legacy won't end, because you've pitched something so much greater than baseballs. You've pitched the love of a father. Thanks, Dad. Love, Robert. There are so many things like that that I hope that many of you have written to a dad or shared with a dad or sent to a dad, how special it is. You know, on Father's Day, I just like to talk about the things that I've witnessed and seen even just recently. As Apostle Bob talked about, we've been at two weddings. How special, how amazing it was to listen to a father pray over his daughter as he gave her in marriage. How amazing to hear the heart of that father. How touching it was to watch another father at the same wedding, who was actually standing up as his son's best man, And as the preacher was preaching and as a prophetic word came forth, he had such a hard time because so many tears were flowing. I thought, the love of a father, how special a father is, you know. And then he shared with the fun we had at the Brown wedding and just that, seeing all that kind of things. But other things, I saw at that at same time, I saw a father holding what had to be a very, very newborn, holding a tiny little baby in his arms. And if you caught the look in his eyes, I thought, that man is becoming a dad. It's not just about begetting a child, but he's becoming a dad. And I wonder about dads, how they face those kind of moments when they realize, if I'm going to become a dad, I have to be transformed into something I've never been before. You know, we get no rehearsals for these things. It just doesn't seem right. Moms and dads, you know, you really don't. But that dad, to be transformed into something new and different, that this was an opportunity all of a sudden to build his life around someone else besides himself. What a demand, what a requirement, what an opportunity it is for a father to have to face the fact, if I'm going to be a dad, I can't live selfishly. My goals don't become priority anymore. Somebody else's goals become priority. I have to look to the future in a different kind of way now. I'm looking towards, how do I help this one become prepared for a future that I don't know? How can I help them be ready? Can I provide? What can I do? It's such a work of sacrifice. It's such a work that requires a sense to recognize I have to deny myself in order to do this, to take responsibility for someone else and serve someone else. I don't know how dads deal with all that. I've been at more than 40 births now and seen that moment when the woman gives birth and then eventually a father gets to hold a newborn baby. And I think, what goes through their heads? And do they know? Do they know what's ahead for them? Are they ready for that? Can they recognize that, you know? But I know that not everyone who begets a child becomes a dad. But we want to honor the dads. So as I've been thinking all in the last couple of weeks, preparing for Father's Day, I get to talk about how special it is. You know, Lord, give me those Hallmark kind of words to share, to touch hearts. And then he started telling me about the reality that's in the world we live in today. And I thought, it's so different than what we want it to be. There's an epidemic of fatherlessness in our society. Do you know that in our nation, 1 out of 4 children live in a home without a father? A home with, that's amazing. The U.S., United States of America, has the highest rate of children living in single-parent homes. The percentage of children living with only their mother has doubled since 1968. Today, the majority of children born to women under 30 are born into fatherless homes. The majority of children born to women who are under 30 are born into fatherless homes. Children who are raised in fatherless homes face, of course, increased odds, very increased odds of what? Drugs, poverty, crime, poor performance in school, depression, absence from the labor force, abuse, neglect, crime, anger, rage. Whoa. That is not a very pleasant Hallmark comment of what God says. Don't talk about Father's Day without acknowledging how difficult this day is that our men live in. We have a granddaughter who works for Children Protective Services in Wayne County. Whoa, the stories that we've heard. Some she doesn't want to share, but some she shared, you know. One story I learned about was someone going into a home because they heard there was a child there that needed some help to find the child duct taped to a chair with duct tape across his mouth, a little toddler. And the father and mother were both there present. I grieve for that child. I grieve for the father and mother. That's a father who seemed to know this shouldn't be so, but I don't know what else to do. I don't know how to keep my child quiet. I don't know how to keep my child safe even. So duct tape seemed like a good solution. Whoa. Why has that father not been able to learn a skill of fathering? What has happened? Do you know the stories of... There are fathers who are going to hear this message today that are estranged from their children, who don't have a good connection to the ones who should call them dad, don't have a good relationship. There are women who have experienced abuse, violation, neglect from the person that was to protect and care for and provide. The stories are ugly. That's the world we live in. We live in a society that has produced so much insufficiency, so much dysfunction, and man who has stepped into that not knowing. Heard the story recently, just in the last few months, of a man who in his 40s has a good marriage, several children that he delights in and are raising well, and he got a letter that said, "I think you're my dad." What? I guess he had done some of the 23andMe type of thing, you know, and so had a young woman. And so he connected with this woman to test that out and find out. And yes, he was this girl's father. Realized that was before wife, well in college. He had begat a child and never knew it. And learned that this girl had been raised in difficult situations in foster homes. And he and his wife grieved, saying, "If we had known," he said, if I had known, I would have taken you in. You are my child. I would have cared for you and been responsible for you. I don't know, would he? It's easier to say now that he's in his 40s and has a well-established home and business and wife and family. And they did take her in, I think. And that was not the only story I heard like that in the same week, of another person who wrote someone and said, "I think your uncle is my father, and he doesn't know about me, and I would like to meet him, not so I can make any demands on him, just want to know my father." He said, this person who received the letter said, "What should I do about that? I don't know how this person will respond." There's so many stories out there, so many stories of neglect, abuse, abandonment. There's stories like that of ignorance and unskillfulness. There's so many stories. What do we do with that? How do we deal with what we encounter in this world? Even last night, as I was preparing, and Apostle Bob comes in, and how are you doing? All I could do is weep. I just said, how can I talk about all the beauty and wonders of a good dad and God's design when there's so much like this that goes on? I would dare say there's not a single person here who does not know, at least know of a story, and maybe it's yours, a difficult story. I said, God, what do you want to say? What do you want to do? How do you want to reach out and touch ones? He gave me a kind of an unusual thing. He said, share the testimony of when you were in a car accident. I thought, okay, God, help me to see what you're saying here. A number of years ago, my oldest daughter and I were coming home from a wedding shower. And we were not far from here driving on the expressway. She was driving the car. We're just chatting away, enjoying our time together, when all of a sudden, wham, and our car started turning. And we went over an embankment, and the car started rolling. I just grabbed my seatbelt, which, aside here, wear a seatbelt. They are wonderful things. I didn't know how well they worked. I didn't know that they pull you tight and hold on to you as your car rolls and rolls. So wear your seatbelt. But my daughter said, what's happening? Oh, Jesus, help us. First she said, what's happening? And then she said, Jesus, help. Hearing her say that still rings in my memory. And God says, make sure the people you have opportunity to impact know how to call out to Jesus. Make sure they know. We rolled three times by the description of the police. And the sunroof, as we rolled with such force, the sunroof picked up dirt, so that when we finally stopped and the paramedics came, they had to dig us out of the dirt. We were buried in our car with so much dirt around us. That's how much force was in the car, turning and turning. Behind us, the car was totally smashed. Where we were not. One of the first things the paramedic said to me, he said, be thankful you didn't go just a little further and hit that pole. I don't think it would have ended this well. So they dug us out and put us on their stretchers and take you away to the emergency. And in the emergency room, I remember them vacuuming me. I mean, they actually pulled out a little vacuum, and they're going around to vacuum before they check you out and to find out no cuts, probably a few. He said there'll be bruises later on, nothing broken, nothing really damaged, just badly, badly shaken. The doctor, as they let me go later on, said, in the next few days, you're going to feel a lot of pain, because your body was so harshly shaken. My daughter was fine, and so was the other driver. The other driver was a young man in his late teens who had just got a brand new car from his daddy. And he was having fun with his car. He and another man, another friend in another car, were racing in and out on the expressway, enjoying the speed, enjoying the power, enjoying this gift that he had got. And he just cut a little too fast, a little too soon, right in front of us, and knocked us and him rolling down this huge embankment and totaled his car. But he also walked away with not a single thing hurt. Thank you, Lord. In fact, that night, as I could hear my daughter in the bathroom bathing her little toddler, who was supposed to have been in the car with us in the back seat, but some circumstances had worked that she didn't have to take him in the last minute. Thank you, Lord. But as I heard her giggling with him and him jabbering back to her, saved us from so much. But we suffered loss. Cars were totaled. Ours and the other one were totaled. As I said, we'd get covered in dirt. There are circumstances, God says, that this society brings against us. There are ones who come in and knock you out. There are ones who will knock you down. There are ones who will cause a price to be paid. There's a culture that is set against us and whips through and catches us by surprise and puts us in difficult or uncomfortable or really dangerous situations. And we've got to know to say, Jesus, help us. Jesus, help us. There are dads who say, I don't know how to get out of the mess that I feel like I've been the one who caused. God says, say, Jesus, help me. We cannot forget how strong is his love for us. We sang about it today, but we've got to know it. How powerful his redemptive grace is. How much he is able to take what is a horrific situation and bring good out of it. That he can restore hearts, lives. He can take ones from places where they have been tossed around by philosophies, by others' behaviors, tossed around by who knows what, and picked up a lot of garbage along the way. And God says, I'm the rescuer, you know. I'm the one who comes in and rescues. Now, I thought of the first man that God created, Adam. And that he put him in the garden, a place that God had created, a place of beauty and order. There was such a sense that, I mean, we talk about the Garden of Eden. There's just an knowing this was a place of beauty and wonder and goodness, and how amazing. And God was present and walked there. And he put a man there. To say, this is where I want man. And then he brought in a woman. But he said, this is where I want man, in this kind of a place, walking with me, enjoying my presence, knowing me. But one of the commands that he had given to Adam in reference to the garden, he said, be fruitful, multiply, subdue. Be fruitful. In other words, increase, multiply, and subdue. Subdue means, is a warfare word. It means there's going to be danger. There's danger that exists. Rule and take control of it. I personally feel that God's intent was that Adam would go way past the garden and bring the garden into the entire earth. Restoring beauty and order, letting it increase and increase to the whole earth, was a place where God could walk and be fellowship with mankind and the increasing mankind that would be part of Adam doing that. But he violated what God gave him to do and succumbed. But I like that there is a place that God spoke to another man. This man is called the Father, Father Abraham. Did you ever as a kid sing, Father Abraham has many sons has Father Abraham. I am one of them, and so are you. So let's just, okay, well, no, let's just, yeah, let's have a little fun. My kid said, at every family gathering, Mama, are you going to make us sing that Father Abraham song? Oh, yeah, we like that one. Okay. Father Abraham. In fact, as you read through the word so many times, it goes back and refers to Abraham, the father, Father Abraham. In fact, the Pharisees, as they met with Jesus, they're like, you know, when he told them, you're of your father, the devil. Oh, no, 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 no. we're of our father Abraham. We don't have any father but Abraham. He said, if Abraham was your father, you'd be doing what he did. But Abraham was the one who we give that title, earthly title, father. So when God spoke to Abraham and established a promise, a covenant to him, it differed from the one that he had done with Adam in the garden. He begins to him and says, I will make of you a great nation. I will make your name great so that you will be a blessing. He said, I. In Genesis 17, it says in 1 through 10, now when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram, said to him, I am God Almighty. Walk before me, be blameless. I will establish my covenant between me and you. I will multiply you exceedingly. Abraham fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant's with you. You'll be a father of a multitude of nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name will be called Abraham. For I made you the father of a multitude of nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful. I will make nations out of you, and kings will come forth from you. I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you throughout their generations for an everlasting covenant to be a God to you and to your descendants after you. I will give to you and to your descendants after you the land of your sojourning, all the land of Canaan for an everlasting possession. I will be their God. God said further to Abraham, now as for you, you shall keep my covenant, you and your descendants after you, throughout all their generations. There was a difference when God had spoken to Adam his command, and then when he spoke later to Abraham. Do you notice how many I's were in that? How many times God said, I will do this, and I will do this, and I will do this, and I will do this. I will make you, I will establish you, I will perform this for you, I will accomplish this for you. God said, for the fathers who look to me, I will do it. I will do it. And for the fathers who failed to look, if they look now and cry out to me, I will do it. I will do it. God said, that's my part of the covenant with you. I will do it. I will be your God. I will do these things. He said, I will establish my covenant. I will multiply you. I will cause you to become a blessing. In this day, there's got to be a rising up, and there is, I sense it, a rising up amongst the men to know it's God who makes us a father. It's God who established his purpose on earth. And it's God who will do it, and we have to depend on God. It's not going to be our reasoning. It's not going to be how well you reason. It's not even going to be how well you do things in fathering, though I trust you'll be continually working to do it well. It's how much of a relationship you have with the one who will do it. He is the father who will teach the fathers how to be fathers, and he will father. And to the ones who do not have fathers, who have homes that have not had a father, he said, watch what I will do. You know, I watched a couple of Father's Day's message from the last few years of people that I like to listen to, and a number of them spoke to the issue of the single mothers, the mothers at home raising their boys and girls without a dad, and how they would need to be mom and dad. I personally don't think a single mom can be a dad, but she can call on the one who can be, and who is, and who chooses to be. But it's not built in us to be the father. It's not designed that we would take on fathering, but we take on that place that we call upon him and say, Lord, I don't have a father in the home for my children, But I trust you. You are the one who made a covenant with our father Abraham. And you said that we could walk in that same faith and trust, because that's what we walk in. Father Abraham was the father of faith. And we walk in faith and we trust God. We trust God that he will make it right. He will be the one in those cases and establish the ones. And we say, Father, do what you have promised to do and be that. Be the one who provides for our kids. Be the one who protects. Be the one who confirms to them you have a father. But you know what? One thing I found when I was reading through, I hope I've got it here, about the studies of fathering, fatherlessness in society, that there have now been studies that have shown that in neighborhoods and communities where there are some fathers, not fathers in every household, but some fathers, those children do better than the children that are raised in communities with no fathers. I don't know what community you're connected to, a neighborhood, a workplace, but there are children, they might be grown children, who don't have a father, but your presence can make a difference. And God said, look at your church. I know that here in our church, there are children who come here without fathers. But I look around and I see some dads. I see some fathers here. And I think, I'm so glad these kids are coming into our community, because it's going to make a difference. It's going to make a difference. There are some dads here who have had some rough time as a dad with their own begotten children, but have now found their place with the Father. And so they now have that nature of a father, and they're going to make a difference to the kids that come here. And so my prayer is that God bring more kids. Bring more kids, but bring the courage in the men to be fathers. So as you move about our building and you see kids, learn their names, connect with them, encourage them. 2 days ago, Pastor Bob and I were walking in the evening. Our dog's staying at our son's house, and so he says, who am I going to walk with? I said, I'll take you for a walk. So we went for a walk. And as we were at one point in our walk, we came to a field, and there was a boy, I'd say maybe nine years old, a boy with a football, tossing it in the air, catching it. Tossing it in the air, catching it. Sometimes tossing it in the air, rolling on the ground, and then grabbing the ball. Playing his game by himself. And the heart of the father rose up in this one. And maybe it was the heart of a boy, I don't know. Who said, looks like somebody else is needed to play this game. And so he goes running over and he said, hey, toss it my way. And pretty soon they were tossing passes back and forth, playing a little ball. And I thought, God, I don't know where that boy's dad is. Maybe he's home helping mama clean up after dinner. Good dad. Maybe he's helping his daughter with something. Maybe he's working because he has a night job providing for his family. So they'll have lights and electricity and food, you know. Good dad. Who knows? Maybe he's not there at all. Maybe he's off hanging out with his friends and doesn't realize they have a little boy that'd love to have him toss a football back and forth. I don't know. But I think it was special for at least a little bit that another dad came along and played a game with him. Dads, I make an appeal to you. Be the dad. Be it now, even if you weren't it yesterday or the day before, or weeks before, years before. Maybe your testimony is pretty sad. But today is the day for a new one. Maybe you only have the kids, your kids, you know, every other week or something, every other weekend. Who knows? But God said, know him and cry out to him. Say, Jesus, what's happening? Help us. I say, what's happening? What's happening that kids raised in what I would say are good homes, good Christian homes, and yet are caught up in some philosophies and some lifestyles that I think, how did that happen? There are places where I see people who I was sure would be a good mom and a good dad who have abandoned their kids to go their own ways and follow their own selfishness. There's all kinds of ways things are not as God ordained that they would be. But when something is not the way God ordained it would be, then we know there's grace to bring it into order. When God gave his covenant with Abraham, and when Abraham realized it would depend on God's initiative, God's promises, dependence and strength on him, God also gave Abraham a promise at one point and said to him, let's see, Genesis 22, 15 through 19. Then the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time from heaven and said, by myself I have sworn, declares the Lord, because you've done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son, was after the possible sacrifice of Isaac, and then God stepped again. God said, indeed, I will greatly bless you. I will greatly bless your seed as the stars of heavens, the sand which is on the seashore, and your seed shall possess the gate of their enemies. In all your seed, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed because you obeyed my voice. God says, all the nations will be blessed because you obeyed his voice, and you obeyed his voice, and you obeyed his voice, and you obeyed his voice. All nations are going to be blessed, and your seeds, it said, your seed shall possess the gate of your enemies. That's war talk. That's talk that says there's evil present, but we're empowered to confront it and subdue it. We are. We live in a time where wickedness and evil is present. But God said, early on, I gave a command to make a place for my presence. It was called the Garden of Eden. Now extend it. Extend it and create. Create in your household and then in your community or in your environment. Create first in yourself a place where I am present and can walk freely. And I will multiply you and I will multiply your seed. But know how to call out for me. Amy started us with the story of the prodigal son. But the son came to his right mind. There's a lot of sons and daughters. There's a lot of adult ones like ourselves who are coming to our right mind in this day and running home and discovering that the arms are open wide to accept.
Let me encourage you right now, this morning in my walk, and the Lord spoke to me and gave me four areas of scripture. Two we've already spoken about, the prodigal son and the father and the restoration. But the other one, the very last verse of Malachi, the second to the last verse says, before the great and terrible day of the Lord, of his coming, it's great and terrible, he's going to send Elijah, or a spirit of prophecy. But the last verse says, and he will restore the hearts of the fathers to their children in the hearts of the children to their fathers. We're praying for an outpouring of the Spirit, but in that this day that we're praying for, God is going to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children back to the fathers. That's in Malachi, the very last two verses. Then you go to the prodigal son, and then in 1 Corinthians 4, Paul said, you've had many tutors, many instructors, many teachers, but not many fathers. Yeah. We're in a society that has instructed and taught our children, but we haven't fathered them. And then the scripture in 1 John says this, and I'm going to tell you, every one of you men, you say, but I don't have any children. But if you're born again, the process in 1 John is, he says, little children, young men, and fathers. You may not be a physical father, but if you're a child of God, as you mature, part of maturity is you become a spiritual father. And I believe that God is connecting us back to our spiritual, our physical children, but also our spiritual children. And every one of you men, you say, but man, I don't have any natural children. But there's a whole group of children that God wants to be fathered spiritually to encourage. So I look across the room and look at the men. I just want to go to each one and say, I'm proud of you. I'm proud of you. And don't give up. They're coming home. I heard him say, look and see him coming home in the spirit and begin to call them to their senses. Amen. Heard some testimonies yesterday and out of the life group. And I say to Woody, what he shared his heart of his two sons. And he shared how one has returned and asked for forgiveness to Woody, but he said his youngest one hasn't quite been there yet. But Woody, don't give up. Amen. Because they saw, Woody's testimony was, they saw him the way he was when they lived with him, not the way he is now as a new creation in Christ. Amen. So keep being who you are in Christ. The Father's saying he's proud of you, and I say I'm proud of you. I say to David Hurley, had a conversation with him, I'm proud of you. You have a new son. You think you, one of the men on the platform says, I have four children, no more. I says, that's a lie. You have four natural children. But if you're a spiritual son of God, you're going to have a lot of spiritual children. Amen. So I want to say to the men, he's not done with you yet. Not done with your natural children. And there's many more spiritual children. As you mature, don't stay a young adult. Don't stay a child. But he says to the fathers, we're living in a time before the outpouring that he's turning the hearts of the fathers back to the physical and spiritual children. I'll tell you, he gave me 4 days this week spending with my natural grandchildren and just loving on them, and then 2 weddings, a life group where there were all kinds of opportunities. David Hurley Jr., I got to encounter him and just say, I'm proud of you. I'm excited for his future and this new life that's coming into his life. I'm proud of you. Proud of Garrett back there. I'm proud of you. You bring your kids to church and they're watching you. You're loving on them, and I'm proud of you. Proud of you, Aaron. You're two boys. You're modeling. Wow. I don't know all your children, but Vince, I'm proud of you. People that don't even know that where their children are, I'm proud of you. You're staying in it. Where your children are physically, you don't know. They're coming home. Lift up your eyes and begin to call them in. I'm proud of men that have physical fathers, but I'm proud that God's raising up a whole spiritual army. That when we see the doors open, and I read Isaiah, they're coming in from the north, the south, the east, and the west. They're hungry, and they're coming in without fathers. I'm proud of you, Mike Horvat. He's not even married, doesn't have any physical children, but he spent 2 decades with the children's ministry. And the children I hear that saw him as a father, they came in. I saw some of them these last couple of days at the wedding. They talk about they met Christ here and it was in the children's ministry. He was a spiritual father to them. I'm proud of you, Mike. Proud of you, Mr. Greer, down there. You have your son sitting here. I'm proud of you. I'm proud of you. And they're coming home. Jim and Ann. I'm proud of you. Done a good job. They're hungry. Jeff, I'm proud of you. Megan, all the spiritual sons and daughters. Ron, up here. I talked to Ron and Vince on the platform. I'm proud of them, what they've done with their children. And those yet that don't know the Lord, it doesn't matter. God is turning the hearts of the spiritual and physical fathers. God's doing it. It's a supernatural, sovereign work. He's doing it, and at the same time he's doing it with you, he's doing it to your children. As you begin to pray, as you begin to cry out in a fresh and a new way, doesn't matter what you see in the natural, God, they can't get away from God. And as you pray, they may try to run, but eventually they're going to come to their senses. I'm just proud of the men here. That when kids come in, I see you just laughing with them. Don Armstrong, his silly jokes. When he talks to the kids. But the kids love it. They love it. They may not get it where they come in or outside, but they love his jokes. You understand? Children are looking for the approval of a father. Yes. The greatest joy I get to say is in these couple of weddings is take a couple of these young men that grew up here I haven't seen and just say, I'm proud of you. Yes. And I could just feel them. I'm proud of all you men. I'm proud of Jason who's yet to... There's that right one out there, but you're going to father some spiritually. Greg, proud of you. You got a lot of spiritual sons out there. There's Ray back there. I'm proud of you, Ray. God's proud of you. Anthony and Carl, just call you out there. Dennis back there. Monday over here. Okay. Mike up here. Golly. I'm proud. All these fathers in the house. Aren't you glad? Yeah. Amen. Amen. We're going to do 2 things. If I miss you, I'm sorry. I'm just trying to go through. And we're going to bring the children up, and Chase brought them in, instructed. They just want to pray for the fathers too. Okay, so. It's important that the children, Perry, I'm proud of you. I didn't see you. You must have been back there with them. I'm proud of Perry. Let me say this to you too, you know. Some of you got children grafted into you, your a relationship, maybe a second marriage or another marriage, and they're not your natural children, but the spouse brought them in. They're now your children. That's what we tell them when you get married. We told David Hurley that. We told Chris Brown that. You gained a daughter and a son. That's expansion. You become a father now. And so when you marry into a situation, God's mercy's there. You gain family. And so what they all wanted to do is Chase asked and to pray for you. So I'm going to invite the men up. I'm going to pray over you and just impart and tell you I'm proud. And then the kids are just going to, they just want to, not just their own fathers, but tell all the fathers how proud they are. So just all the men, come on up. I'm going to just impart and lay hands on you. No. I'm just proud of all the men that have a father here, too. That's generations. It doesn't matter if you're married or you're not a father yet. You're going to be a father if you're a child of God. Come on up.
Just the men right now.
Come on, Mike. Don, come on down. Stephen, come on down. The sound won't go off without you. Or it may, but that doesn't matter. This is real important that we acknowledge.
Men.
We acknowledge God the Father, but men, you're all spiritual sons and daughters, and it's important that we acknowledge you. And I want to say to each and every man, I'm proud of you. I may not even know you real close, but I'm proud of every one of you. Every one of you. Proud of you. Devante, I'm proud of you. I'm proud of you. Every one of you. Let's just stretch our hands, and I'm going to lay hands on and go and just release just a blessing on them. The kids can come by high and just bless each one of you. Just receive the blessing of the Father and also the blessing of the children.
Amen.
Amen. So just stretch your hands, ladies. You can just bless as I go. And so, Father, I thank you right now. We thank you for these men. We thank you, Father, that you said you're turning the hearts of men back to their children. And as you turn the hearts of these men back to their physical and spiritual children, you're also turning the hearts of the children that they engage with back to you. No greater honor than the Father, physically and spiritually. And God empowers you, and I speak grace over each man right now. You say, I don't have what it takes. God says you have more than it takes, because if he's in you, greater is he that is in you. And Father, I just lay hands on and impart right now grace, favor over each one of these men right now, Father. Turn their hearts back to their children. In the name of Jesus, let there be a transfusion of the love of God into the heart of each one of these men right now, not only for their physical children, Father, but the spiritual children that you're going to bring into their lives. That, Father, you'll give them wisdom and how to, Father, nurture, how to raise them up right now. Right now, they don't know what to do. But Father, you're giving them the mind of Christ. You give them the wisdom of God right now. Open up their hearts for spiritual and physical children. And we call the physical children back into relationship with their fathers. And those who don't even know their father, we thank you that, Father, you give them spiritual fathers in the name of Jesus. That, Father, they might impart life and just life and life more abundantly. We thank you for the blessing of Abraham. a father of the faith in the name of Jesus that is in each one of these men's hearts. Restore their heart for children spiritually and physically. Thank you, Father, for the heart of the Father in each one of these men right now. Bless them right now. Bless you. Thank you. Father, I thank you for each one of these. Give them the mind of Jesus for fathering those yet to come, those, Father, that are under them, those physical children, those spiritual children. Thank you right now, Father, in the name of Jesus. Thank you that they'll, Father, mentor nations, and they'll mentor, Father, whole cultures in Jesus' name. Release it. Release the anointing of God in the name of Jesus. Give them a heart, the Father's heart, and bring back children, Father, physical and spiritual. Thank you right now for the spirit of the Father's heart on each one of these men. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. Ha, 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 ha. And all the children out here, they're saying amen. Are they going to come and just... Okay. Men, just remember there's no junior Holy Spirit. The faith of a child. They pray over you, just receive the simplicity of their faith. Because they see you as giants, not as you see yourself. So they're just going to come and pray. Come on. You can stretch out. Okay. Yeah, you just lead them.
God, thank you for creating everybody on this earth and everybody have a good day.
Amen.
Thank you for Jesus. God is loving me. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Thank you.
God, thank you for all the dads you made. Amen.
thank you for all the powers and all these dads.
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you for all these men and bless all the men.
Thank you for the dads, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
I pray that all the dads have a great Father's Day.
Yeah.
I pray that the dads have a good day.
In the name of Jesus, I believe that all fathers will have a good Father's Day and that they will have a good day and that every day from now on will be blessed in their life.
Have a good Father's Day. And I thank God for sending Jesus down here to save us all for our sins.
Yeah. Amen.
Yeah. I hope all the fathers have a blessed Father's Day.
Amen. You want to pray? Go on and pray.
God, thank you so much for just putting a covering over the fathers. God, thank you for allowing your presence to enter them more fully, that they can embody more of who you are, and that they would understand first their position as your child, so that they can receive that fathership and in turn give it tenfold to those around them, not just those who are blood relatives, but God, those who are spiritual children, every single person that they touch, God, let them see that not only are they your child, but God, that they are also a father, and see the Father you through them In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Let's thank the Lord for the men. Let's have, I want the Nigerian group to stay up here. Amande, Maureen, come on up. Rachel, come on up. Joyce, and come on, all the Nigerian, because Maureen and Monde are going to Nigeria. And so we want to send them. So they're going back, so you can sit down. Is Rachel going with you or the family?
No, we're going to Florida, not Nigeria.
Oh, you're going to Florida. I thought I was sending you to Nigeria. Oh, golly. Golly. Well, we're going to, not yet. Oh, I thought, golly. Well, we'll pray for him anyway. You need a prayer.
We need a prayer.
Oh. Oh.
Yeah, not that good.
I think they can get to Florida by themselves, but I like to pray for Nigeria anyway.
Yes.
Amen. And amen. Our Nigerians. So, Father, we thank you for Monde and Maureen and their family, Rachel and Ashley. Is Father, they vacation, but Father, we thank you that you're refreshing them, and we thank you that Father, it reminds us to pray for the nation of Nigeria as they're in this transition. And we pray, Father, for this Nigerian delegation, Father, and all their loved ones right now that are in the midst of, Father, tremendous warfare, both physically and naturally, for that nation. And we thank you right now that you hear their prayers, and we add our faith with them. And we ask, Father, that you would just encourage them, Father, with their loved ones that are still there. And we say, put a hedge around them, Father. Open up their heart and their ears that they might receive and know Jesus. And we thank you right now. Refresh them right now in Jesus' name.
Amen.
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 You get the... boy, I think Monde did that last week. He was sneaky. I think he wanted prayer for his family.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you can get there by yourself, but we're praying protection, refreshing upon you. And Rumi, good job. Oh, boy. Let's give the Lord a praise. Wow. Well, again, every day, every week, and every day we should be celebrating God as Father. And He's a good, good God. And if you don't know God as Father, today is a good day to receive Jesus and invite Him in your life. And in receiving Jesus, He reveals the Father. And so I know that the first testimony of receiving Christ is always the love of God is placed in your heart. And so I just pray that you won't leave this place without knowing Jesus.
Amen.
It's the greatest miracle you'll ever experience. You're praying for miracles. Get born again. Become a new creation in Christ. It opens up the portal to signs and wonders and the goodness of God. So, Father, I just pray the goodness of God, the Father. I pray, Father, if there be any here who does not know Jesus as Lord of their life, that all they do is they cry out as the prodigal came to his senses and he ran back to the Father. We thank you, Father, you restored them and back to the relationship with you. And we thank you that we do this by receiving Jesus as Lord of our life. Inviting them into our heart. It's by faith. Believe in your heart, confess with your mouth. And so as we confess Jesus, we thank you that you come and live on the inside of us. And we experience the love and the goodness of God the Father. And we thank you. I speak it over every household, every family, every person here right now. In the name of Jesus, encounter Jesus. And receive the love of the Father in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Well, have a great Father's Day, those that are going to be out. Just have a great day. If you're not celebrating your father, celebrate. Let me just encourage you to call or write a text. If your father's alive and you say, yeah, but I don't have a contact, reach out and just send a text. You know, you're not looking for a response. You're just sharing the love of Jesus with them. Amen. Open up that opportunity for him to respond back to you. And just cover your sons, your daughters, your fathers, your mothers. Just cover them in prayer. Amen. God's doing restoration to families. Amen. Amen. But there's no greater love than being in the family of God the Father. And so this is a great family. We love you. Good to see you. Come back next week. Don't take the week off. You know, be pressing in. But we'll see you next week, and Roger will be here and ministering to us. So God bless you. Happy Father's Day to all the fathers. Amen.